All right, good morning, and thank you for joining. This is Confessions of a Serial Wife. So it seems like forever since we spoke, since we had the long weekend, and then I wasn't able to create an episode yesterday. So I appreciate you joining in. And you have to excuse me if I have a frog. I think I'm coming down with a cold or a flu or something. Or maybe COVID. Who knows in today's day and age? I'm hoping not, but anything's possible, I suppose. So I wanted to, kind of cinch up a few details. So, you know, I came from a family that was extremely dysfunctional. To give you kind of a time frame of one example, when my kids, my sister's kids, they're all roughly the same age, but when they were young, we're talking, you know, between, 8, 9, 10, somewhere in there. My mom had gone to my sister's because she lives in a different state and was staying with her. And my sister had a minivan and was toting my mom everywhere, and I'm sure footing the bill for everything. And at some point, I heard that she had slipped or kind of misstepped getting into the back of my sister's minivan. And instead of having the armrest up to where she could sit down easily, she had it down for some reason. And so she hit her ribs on the padded armrest of that, you know, the middle bench in a minivan. And she stayed there the rest of the time. It was no big deal. They had, you know, their regular visit. And then my mom came back home, and then I heard that mom had contacted an attorney and was suing my sister's car insurance because she got hurt in that accident. Now, mind you, it was just her climbing in the back of my sister's van. I don't think she ever went to a doctor, but you never know. Mom was kind of Sue happy from the beginning. I remember her having, just car accident after car accident. And of course, you know, it's, I'm doing air quotes, not her fault. But there were times, there was a time when they were down here in the valley buying a pop machine to haul back up to the mountains, to the store up there. And they had it in the back of their little, like little Datsun, you know, little tiny, teeny tiny four-cylinder pickup. Old, used, dinged up, you know, not great. And Dad was sitting in the back holding this thing. I'm not sure why it wasn't tied, but he was in the back holding it. And my mom cut out into traffic and wrecked, and my dad flew out of the back of the pickup, and the pop machine flew out of the back of the pickup, and it was a mess. And that was another lawsuit. And there's a time when she went to a thrift store and she sat on a chair and the chair collapsed. And I'm sure, I mean, there could be a million jokes there too, but that was probably the store's fault. But she sued them and got a whole bunch of money, and I don't think she was injured from a little folding chair, you know, falling on the floor. You know, she's been pulled over before for drunk driving, and she doesn't even drink. So it kind of gives you an idea of her driving ability. And I almost think that some of these were planned so that she could, you know, create these lawsuits and have a nest egg. When the store burned down when my daughter was little, that's kind of what happened. So she wanted to run back into the house because she had money stashed in there. She never trusted banks. She doesn't, you know, invest. I mean, nothing like that. Never a 401k, you know, nothing. She's old school paranoid. And that's just how I was raised. So I guess, you know, my opinions were skewed from the beginning. But it wasn't just mom. And I love my dad dearly. You know, if you've been listening to my episodes, to my podcast, you know that, I mean, he was my saving grace in most instances. He's the one that always stepped up. He was kind of my rock. But I remember weird things about him, too. I remember I told you that, you know, about that girl that would come over. I mean, it's like fourth grade, but she would come over and stay the night and we would, you know, mess around. And, you know, I remember him peeking in the door, and I don't think he was peeking in the bedroom door to be peeking. I think that he was trying to catch us being awake or catch us not sleeping because it was probably a school night or something. So I don't think it was perverted, but I suppose the notion is there, you know. And maybe that's from my grown-up paranoia. So, you know, I mean, I just came from a very weird family. I told you my grandparents weren't part of my life. And, you know, my mom's family had mental issues kind of throughout. My aunt, I say, died of schizophrenia, but she had such severe schizophrenia, I guess, at the end, that she had symptoms that, you know, caused her death, or, you know, sped it up at least. And then my uncle, I told you, you know, I think he's still in some home here because he's just weird. And Dad said that it wasn't caused from being in the military, that he was like that beforehand. So there you go. Dad was an orphan. There's absolutely no information on him whatsoever, which is kind of scary, really, in the scheme of things, because you don't know what you're looking at as far as health and all of that stuff and mental issues. But that's kind of, you know, how I was raised. It's just, I don't know. It's just very, I want to use the term backwoodsy. You know, it's kind of hillbilly, because that's just how it was. That was just the normal thing. You know, when I married the kids' dad, I mean, that was a fresh marriage. And Dad did get sick at the mother-in-law's restaurant. But you know, I remember her very vocally offering to pay any medical bills, offering to help them with whatever they needed, and they still sued her. So I think you get in that mindset maybe, and then that's just the person you become, along with all the freebie stuff. It's always a handout, you know. It's always what's in it for me, you know, how can I get money out of this? And that either becomes who you are or it doesn't. And fortunately, I grew away from that. I think my sister did too, for the most part. You know, when you grow up like that, I think that it causes you to view that as negative. You start seeing, you know, just how crazy that is. You know, you just shouldn't be so happy. I mean, that's part of the problem with society now, I think. And then when your family is like that, you know, and I don't know. And when they're just so backwoodsy, you know, I mean, that's the term. I can't get away from that. It just causes you to think a certain way. and it makes you tainted. And after becoming tainted and then growing through that, and now, of course, Dad has passed several years ago, and my sister and I don't talk. We haven't talked for several years. You know, I'll send Christmas cards and birthday cards, and I'm lucky if I get, you know, some generic Christmas card, you know, that says Merry Christmas and a Joyous New Year or something that's, you know, printed on the card and then signed from her. So there's just, I don't know, it's just weird. And I'm sure that my sister is dealing with that too. But I think that coming from that, it causes you, and seeing, looking back on that and analyzing, it causes you to have regret, really. It's kind of a regret that, you know, why didn't I go to college when I was young? Why in the hell didn't I? You know, then my school loans would have been paid. I wouldn't have been in any financial predicament where I would have felt the need to, I don't know if I want to say rush marriage, but maybe that's what is mostly true. You know, I just, it wouldn't have caused me to look for so many shortcuts, you know, in life. And maybe that's, maybe I'm infected with that disease too, you know, where you just always look for something, you know, the short way. I think that's fairly normal though. But, you know, I regret so many things. When the kids' dad, when my kids were very small, when I was modeling, I was kind of at the prime of my modeling years. And I only did it for a couple of years. But I remember I was having my nails done every day because I was having these photo shoots, and I was going to this agency and, you know, walking, and I actually ended up getting a job on a catwalk. I was going to do a bridal show for a big chain store, and then I just never went and never panned out. I flaked out. I don't know. But I was having my nails done all the time, and one day when I was getting my nails done, I got a phone call, which was really weird, and we didn't have cell phones, so the call came to the salon, and it was the kids' dad, and he told me that his sister, who was 23 at the time, had just died, and she was in another state, but she was close to us, and I didn't know what to do. I didn't know how to react. I didn't know. Like, I'm sitting there getting my nails done, and I'm not even sure I said, oh my God, I'm so sorry. You know, I'm sure I asked what happened and, you know, the normalcies, but I'm not sure how much I grasped what was happening. I remember hanging up the phone and still sitting there to finish my nails. You know, do I flake out on my nail appointment? Do I leave with nails half done? Do I, you know, forego the money of the manicure? I mean, just so many things went through my mind, and I stayed until they were done. And then I sat there as they dried. And then I drove home to see this kind of semi-devastated man. And I'm not sure that I was comforting. I'm not sure I dealt with that very well at all. And you look back at stuff like that and you just think, you know, my God, what the hell? How was I even a person? I think I'm going to pause right there for just a second, because it's probably a really good point to pause, and then I'll continue this thought. So bear with me. I'll be right back. thanks for bearing with me. I'm back. You know, regret is a horrible thing. It causes you to really reflect on all the shitty things that you've done, you know, and that adds to your stress and depression. And then you think, you know, my God, how could somebody forgive me for this crap? And I think it makes it harder for you to connect to people, especially people that you have regrets about. Because then how do you ever move past that? How do you ever get up enough gumption to say, you know, I regret this. Can't we move past this? You know, I don't even know how that works. Like my sister, for instance. She has had terminal cancer now forever, it seems like. Her son had brain cancer. There was, you know, I don't know. There were opportunities where I could have went there. I could have sucked it up and, you know, been the way bigger person and said, you know, I'm sorry, I love you, I'm here, you know, let me help. I guess I didn't know how to do that at the time. You know, I don't know. Even now, I feel like, okay, well, if I jumped on an airplane and went there right now, you know, how would that be? What would that look like? And it just becomes a very painful thought. So you just don't think about it really. You know, part of me even regrets leaving my kids' dad. You know, was everything that he was doing unfixable? Should we have tried harder? Should I have understood more and talked to the therapist more openly about the sex stuff? You know, I think about how that has changed my life and the lives of my kids. And I just wonder if they would have been better off had I not left him, if they would have been happier had I not left him. I don't think my daughter would have been into drugs like she got into. Maybe my son would have been more fit, more active, because, you know, their dad's fairly active. And maybe instead of gaming so much, maybe he would have continued that activity. Maybe, you know, I don't know, all kinds of maybes. I definitely wouldn't have gone to college. But I don't think I would have inflicted so many mental scars like husband number four leaving and giving my kids abandonment issues. So I don't know what the right answer is. I guess I'll never know. So I just live in this tumultuous regret, you know, and it comes up from time to time and festers like, you know, like an old sore that hasn't healed properly. So I don't know. I think I look at how my life has turned out and how cynical I've become and so many things that have happened to me. And I wonder if that is a product of my upbringing. Because I look at other people and I look at how seemingly naive and innocent they are. And maybe they're better off. maybe I would have been better off like that. You know, it doesn't seem like these things happen to those types of people. And, you know, I worked my whole life to try to make my kids aware and mature and try to give them, reasoning capabilities. I wanted to make them smart. I wanted to make them understand how things were so that they could, you know, work around it or work with it or make it better or, you know, but I don't know if I did that. Maybe I just inflicted on them this curse of regret then. Maybe I just inflicted on them this curse of depression. Maybe that's the trick. Maybe the trick is staying innocent and naive and blind to everything around you, you know. So I don't know. I guess really with this episode, I had so many thoughts in mind about where I was going to go with this, but I don't know. When you're thinking of memories and all of this stuff, it just starts bubbling up, and things that are way deep down end up coming to the surface, and then I end up needing to, I don't know, expose them, bleed them out. And that's how you guys get these rambling episodes, so I apologize for some of these, but really, I don't think that you could understand really how life is and the thought processes in my head without these rambling episodes. So you're welcome. Anyway, I think I'm going to end there for this one. Hopefully on my next one, I'll have a more focused attention span and not so many kind of convoluted memories that all surfaced into one festering boil. So anyway, thank you for listening. I hope you chime in next time. I appreciate you as always. Thanks. Bye-bye.